Welcome to Make a Yacht News Radio, the first and longest running podcast series dedicated to the large yacht industry. Hosted by Diane Byrne, the editor of MegaYachtNews.com, we feature conversations with engaging and inspiring people in yachting, from shipyard CEOs to designers, from yacht managers to young entrepreneurs, and yes, even owners. You'll learn how they got into yachting, how they're building better businesses, and especially how they're helping people like you get more enjoyment out of the yachting lifestyle.
Welcome, everyone. About a year ago, I learned about a dynamo in yachting by the name of Kelly Gordon, or more appropriately, Captain Kelly Gordon. To say she is a leader is an understatement. She is a mentor, an educator, a role model, and more, all rolled into one, sought after for her advice and awareness, not just by crew, and especially younger crew members, but also the yachting industry at large. She receives invitations for B2B speaking engagements and regularly receives accolades for her insightful social media postings on raising the bar on professionalism in yachting. When I first met Kelly in early 2023, instantly I could see why. She radiates confidence and wants to make a positive impact, especially so that those who are working with her and rising up the ranks after her succeed. Additionally, she wants the yachting industry as a whole to achieve greater success and doesn't shy away from calling a spade, as you will hear in this conversation today. Kelly, welcome to Mega Yacht News Radio.
Wow, thank you for having me. And oh my gosh, what a way to start my day with that introduction.
Wow. We aim to please. So when I speak with most people for this podcast, inevitably, people have a story about how they grew up boating, they grew up sailing, the family had a boat, or they learned to sail through some program in their local community. Essentially, there is the boating bug from a very, very early age. Your background is so, so different, which is what I think is really interesting. You grew up not only in Indiana, a landlocked state, but you grew up on a farm and you were a chemistry teacher. So tell us how all of those seemingly impossible factors ended up leading you down the path to yachting.
Oh my God, isn't it crazy? Because I grew up the furthest thing from yachting. And so it's just, when I look back on it, I'm like, wow, boy, life has taken its twists and turns. You know, I had a plan. I swear I had a plan from the time I was like 6 years old to be a veterinarian. And that's what I always wanted to be. And boy, did I stray a little bit from that. So yeah, I grew up on a small farm in North Central Indiana. And I grew up going to my grandma's lake cottage on this teeny tiny little lake. So like, I mean, you're talking like 16-foot fish and ski was the extent of my boating. Okay, so we might as well just say that I didn't grow up with any boating knowledge at all. But it's funny looking back on it now, because I have always had an affinity and a love for the water and being on the water and swimming and that kind of thing. But still, even the tiny little lake that I spent a few weekends on every summer is nothing like, it had nothing to do with leading me to where I am now. So I had always wanted to be, like I said, a veterinarian, got into veterinary school straight out of undergrad. And couldn't go. It was too expensive, to just blatantly say it. I couldn't afford it. And even with maximizing all of my student loans and everything like that, I couldn't afford it. And had gone through some other tough things at that age. I was 22 and had broken up with a boyfriend and was going to have to move away from home. And just all these things that were so, so pivotal at that age. And so fast forward, I decided, well, I have this bachelor's in chemistry. I can't afford to go to vet school. What am I going to do? Well, it just made complete sense at the time to get my master's in chemistry. It's quite hard in the sciences to do much with the bachelor's. And so I got my master's, and that's where I was introduced into the yachting industry. I didn't know. So I went from having to move away an hour and 15 minutes to veterinary school to moving halfway across the country from Indiana to North Carolina. And that's a whole nother podcast as to how I went to that. But I make the move. I finish my master's degree. I know I'm on the coast, but I don't quite really comprehend that I'm like on the coast, like the ocean, like the Atlantic Ocean. And so after I graduated with my master's, I got a teaching job and I was like, oh, well, this is great. I never envisioned myself as a teacher, but it just so happened that all my life I've loved sharing and I've loved teaching and I've just loved people. And so I got this teaching job at a local college, and there was a non-traditional student there and coming back for her second career, very huge, huge part of the town. And she just wanted to kind of befriend me and say, you know, hey, I'm a huge part of the town. I don't think you really realize what a cool little place you live in. Let me show you around. And I was like, okay, after grades are turned in, let's do it. And so the first place that she took me was to the waterfront. And lo and behold, I'd been there for a little while, but believe it or not, there I do have an introverted side. And so I would teach and I would go home and I really wouldn't explore. I'm there living by myself. I've got my dogs and my cats. So I'm fine. And so she takes me to the waterfront and I'm like, oh my, this is what I'm missing. I'm like, holy cow. And then we walk up to this giant boat, which I look at her and I said, is this a yacht? And she said, yes, it is. And she says, well, this is where we're going to go. We're going to swing by here and we're going, there's a party on this boat. There's some sort of wedding reception or something like that. The owner was hosting for a bunch of friends of the town. And I like, that was my first outing and onto this gorgeous little waterfront, Beaufort, North Carolina. If you've ever been there, it's just the coolest, most charming little town. And literally walk up the ladder, step one foot onto the back deck. And I said, this is what I want to do. Now, I didn't know bow from stern or port from starboard, but I just had this overwhelming feeling of this is it. This is what I want to do. So how does that happen? It kind of goes back to one. I've loved the water, even though I was only a few weekends of the year on the smallest little body of water. I've always been a swimmer. I've always been a little bit of a water bug. There was just this overwhelming feeling of being on the water. But then also going back to my roots of farming, I have always loved heavy equipment. I've always been very outdoorsy. I've always been a little bit of a tomboy. You know, I was a welder to put myself through undergrad. So very hands-on, very mechanical, love to be outside working on equipment. And to be honest, boats are just a giant piece of heavy equipment. Mm. And I likened it to that, especially when the first place that I wanted to see was the engine room. And so I climbed down the ladder, get into the engine room, and I look at this and I say to the fella showing me around, I was like, these are just tractor engines. And I'm like, oh my God, like so much of this stuff is the same as what I've seen on the farm. So instantly I was just mesmerized by the massiveness and the complexity, but yet the similarities to how I'd grown up. You would think that there is no connection in between farming and yachting, but in a way there is, with a lot of the GPS technology, the machinery, the heavy equipment, the challenge that it provided me. And I just instantly said, this is what I want to do. And fortunately, I met a fella, the owner operator of that yacht, that took me under his wing, taught me everything he knows. And now fast forward like 15 years, here I am.
That's amazing. I absolutely love that. You never know when something is going to actually be quite similar, like you said, with the tractor engines and the yacht engines. Very, very cool. So let's talk about the professionalism aspect of yachting. There's a lot of talk these days, in a good way, about women taking on more professional roles in the yachting industry, especially as captains. It's been a long time coming. It tends to, though, I find these conversations tend to come with an assumption that women in your position, and even women in my position, have had to fight with sharpened elbows, right, to get where we are. And I know that definitely was not my experience, and I know it wasn't your experience either. So talk about that. What was it like when you were learning the ropes, literally and figuratively, and when you really had your eyes very much set on becoming a captain?
Well, look, you know, I think maybe a lot of it I can just attribute to the way to the way that I was raised and to the way that I see life and people. But, you know, first of all, you always got to have your eyes wide open for opportunity. And I did. And that owner operator saw it. And he saw my drive, my tenacity, my thirst for knowledge. And I think that, you know, when we have conversations about it now, that was quite refreshing to him to see somebody that has that drive. And he just scooped me up, literally took me under his wing and taught me everything that he could possibly know, from ownership to operation to, and saying to me, look, if you're going to do this, you need to spend a little bit of time in every single department. He's like, you don't have to master them all, but you need to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk, to know, to be a proper captain, to be a proper leader. And so from the start, I was really welcomed. Now, has there been times along the way that people have made me look at me a little bit funny or wonder if, yeah, maybe, you know, can she do it? Is she capable of it? Yeah, there has been, but I perceive that differently. You know, when I pull up to a dock and, you know, people look at my engineer and my first officer and say, you know, where's the captain? And I'm standing like right there. I could easily let that make me mad, but we all just get a good chuckle out of it, you know, because it really is what's kind of funny is watching the other person that now feels like they've, you know, oh my gosh, I've insulted her. And we're just all giggling, you know. I think it's how you approach the situation. You know, no doubt that I'm in a male dominated industry, but I had been all my life, you know, farming, being outside with the boys, welding, being in shops with nothing but men, and learning how to pull your own weight, to let them know that you're there to work just as hard as them. And you don't expect them to, make any concessions for you or anything like that. And you'll find a way and you'll get it done. But hugely respecting their positions. When I came into the industry, yes, again, it was obvious that I'm one of few women, but I had a huge, great deal of respect for these men. And I realized, like, look, let's just like be honest with myself. If I want to get anywhere in this industry, you know, what is the old saying? You know, you draw more bees with honey than you do vinegar. Be nice to them, respect them. And they will reach out to you with open arms. And all but two have. There's only two of them that I remember in this industry that haven't. And one of them, it was a cultural kind of barrier. It's just culturally, it wasn't acceptable for women. But yet, oddly enough, he's still to this day very supportive of me. And he's a captain himself. So when I call him up and I have questions about the area that I'm navigating or whatever, he's very helpful. And the other guy was just a stick in the mud. And I don't think, no matter, unfortunately, what he was going to do, he was going to be happy. So I think it's how I approached them is why I haven't met any resistance. I've approached them with such respect and such a thirst for their knowledge. And that has just gone so far with me. I think, unfortunately, and I see some women coming in to the industry with a bit of a chip on their shoulder and a bit of slinging elbows, almost like they have to assert their dominance. And it's like, no, you don't. I mean, you can come into this industry and still be a woman, and in fact, embrace the fact that you're a woman. Yeah, maybe some things are more difficult for you to do, but find a way, get creative. But I think it's the way I have approached them from the get-go. I haven't come in here slinging elbows at all. And it's just been such a warm welcoming to me in this industry and so supportive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. It's very important to let your aptitude lead the attitude, right? It's tempting when you know that you're in the minority to say, okay, I'm going to have to fight my way through it. But that's as bad of an assumption, I think, in certain situations as it is for the people on the other side who are making an assumption based on you being different from everybody else. You need to just mm-hmm. sit there and say, okay, I'm going to let my abilities show that I'm good at this, show that I want to learn, et cetera, et cetera. And the right people will take notice. And if they don't take notice, well, then that's their problem. There's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that.
And attitude, aptitude and attitude.
Yes.
You know, attitude is another huge, huge component to this, you know, I mean, and not letting it get to you when you have the people that maybe, you know, I know without a doubt there are more than probably these two men that doubted or didn't think I could or didn't think that I should. But I chose not to focus on that. What I chose to focus on was the men that were there and willing to help. Mm-hmm. And when you focus on that, then all the rest you don't even see. You don't even notice.
Right, right. And along those lines, there are enough people in the industry who are trying to do the right thing, who are actually reaching out to you and saying, hey, can you come to our engagement? Can you speak to our members? Can you speak to the people who are paying for our event to listen? You've been very frank in a lot of those discussions about the cultural issue, the cultural facelift, as you put it, that needs to go on in yachting. You've also been really frank about crew mental health in these discussions. I know both are very, very important to you. So let's talk about the crew mental health issue first. Bottom line, if you were going to be sitting down with a bunch of owners, what do they not know that they should know? And how can they help?
I don't think that they see or understand. And I say not understand. I don't say that in a malicious kind of way. I say that very much with compassion is that when you look at the melting pot of different things that go together, so, you know, different nationalities, different cultural values, pile that in with we live together, work together, play together. We are together all of the time. You know, I mean, look, there's if I was to sit down with an owner and I was to talk about to an owner with things that lead to a decline in one's mental health, and there's my top four that I'm really chirping about right now: drug and alcohol abuse, bullying, sexual harassment, and then discrimination, the age, size, gender, race discrimination. That's not unique to this industry at all. Like, it's in every single industry. But I would encourage the owner to think about it from a different perspective and realize the fact that we are together all of the time, that at 5 o'clock, yeah, okay, we might be done for the day, but we don't really check out. I mean, we're still there. We're still in the boat. We're still with everybody. That what if we don't get along with them? What if we don't have the same cultural values? What if one of them is a bully and that bully happens to be the person that we share a room with?
Mm, good point.
You know? You think of all of these things, and let's say you're in the 9-to-5 workplace and you have a bully. Well, at least you know when 5 o'clock comes, or you can work towards 5 o'clock and you can be like, I go home, I get a break from that person. You don't. In this industry, you don't. We are together all of the time. Yeah, we may go for a run or a walk. We may go for the gym. We may get a little bit of a break, but we really don't. So I think that the fact that we're together all of the time, working together, playing together, eating together, sleeping together, you know, it really adds fuel to the fire, really magnifies these issues that you see in every other industry of the world. So I would encourage an owner to really think about just that one different element, is that we live together, work together, and play together. And in no other industry in this world do you have that. So I think that provides a better breeding ground or an amplification for some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I think I think you might see a lot of aha moments or light bulb moments come off with owners and go, oh my God, I never thought of it like that. Now there are some, I got to admit, that are more progressive and see it. Look, this is the command that I have now is the first command that I have actually not lived on the vessel. And I actually was not happy about that because I really love my job and I love just being able to roll out of bed and go to work and then, you know, keep carrying on throughout the night. But this owner is very progressive and very in tune with people. And he is adamant that we don't live on the boat. And it's great that he has provided crew housing for us. And we even, and we're not all even piled all together. I almost feel guilty for saying I have such an amazing owner because I know not everybody out there does, but I want to share it because if there's just at least one other owner listening to your podcast, hopefully there's lots of them. Maybe it fuels a thought because it, as much as I don't want to leave work at the end of the day, because I love to work and I'll just keep grinding away until 9:30 when I go to bed, it's been good for me. And we can all at the end of the day go to our own separate corners. Yeah, when we have trips and stuff like that, then of course we're on the boat full time, whatever. But you know, he does a really good job of providing crew housing and being adamant that we get that separateness from each other and from work. And it makes a difference. Yeah. It makes a huge yeah. difference.
And you know, it's interesting too, because from a corporate standpoint, like you say, when there's someone who's a bully or people you just plain old don't get along with at 5 o'clock, you know, poof, it's over, you leave. Or if there's someone that's really, really difficult in an office environment, somebody can go to human resources and say very confidentially, here's an issue. This is a struggle. I need help. On a yacht, yeah, the captain is kind of the de facto human resources department, but not trained to be that, right? Captains are trained to be the safety chief, the CEO of the yacht, yes, in many, many ways, but it's safety. It's, are the bills being paid? It's, do we have enough fuel? It's, are the owners and the guests being taken care of? Is the anchor set, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all the very important practical and safety needs of the yacht. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you also have to be human resources, but nobody's told you need to be human resources. So maybe there needs to be a little heart to heart between owners and captains as to what the expectations are and what the challenges are. The captains can say very confidentially to the owners, hey, we've got an issue. Not really sure how to deal with it. But this is what we're dealing with and we need your input and we need to make sure it doesn't happen again. The more people have those conversations, then maybe the better off it'll be.
Well, and I think, look, you hit the nail on the head. Captains are captains because we love to drive boats, we love weather, and we love navigation. Nobody ever told us that when we got our captain's license that we're mom, dad, camp counselor, HR, psychotherapist. Nobody told us that we have to wear all of those other hats. And then nobody told us only 10% of the time, and I'm just picking an arbitrary number, but it feels about right. Nobody ever told us that, oh, by the way, the job that you really love to do, the boat handling, the weather, the nav, yeah, you only get to do that about 10% of the time. The other 90% of the time, you know, you are HR, you are camp counselor, you know, you are all of these other things that you likely have never been trained to do. So I think from an ownership standpoint, they could, or from an industry-wide standpoint, provide captains with more leadership training. The industry could definitely do that. Ownership could definitely do that and put more of an emphasis on leadership. But also you have to have your own self-accountability, right? I do a ton of self-study, a ton of reading. I am always reading the next article on leadership. I'm always Googling something on leadership. I'm always watching a YouTube video, reading a book, constantly trying to be a better leader, to understand people better, to like it doesn't stop. And I think that, and I hope that maybe just by simply saying, if there's any captains or any crew listening, hey guys, have some personal accountability and take that on yourself. There's a wealth of resources out there now. with, you can learn anything. And I read constantly about being a better leader. And I take what I read and I put it into practice and I try it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, and I'm open. I'm vulnerable. I let my crew know when I don't get it right. I let them know when I don't know, which is very hard for us as captains, because we're like the industry puts this thing on us that we're supposed to be like this like wealth of knowledge, and we have every answer and we like know everything. And so it's really hard for us to say when we don't know, but say you don't know, be honest with your crew. But then for the rest of the crew, I don't care if you're the newest crew member on the boat and you've only been in the industry for 2 weeks, you are all a leader in some capacity. You can all be studying leadership. You can all be trying to become a better leader, because if nonetheless, you're a leader of your own life. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that to address this issue of a lack of leadership in the industry, we could use the support of the industry and in providing us with more educational opportunities. The owners could get behind that a little bit more, but then yourself, be accountable, like self-study, try to be better, try to grow that. Because like I said, I spend a ton of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good points. And self-accountability is crucial for any industry, any job, and just growth as a person in general. On that same subject, I know you've also been very vocal and very encouraging of crew members who've been told that, oh, well, you didn't get the job because they're the wrong size, the wrong color, the wrong fill in the blank, any of that crazy stuff. So you've called out these isms, right? Sexism, racism, et cetera. And you've told both the industry and the individuals who are facing it that they need to do better. The industry needs to do better. And the individuals, I shouldn't say the individuals need to do better, but they need to be vocal. They need to stand up for themselves and call it out, because the only way anything is going to change is if both parties move in that same direction. What has been the impact? What kind of feedback are you getting from people?
Oh my God. It's crazy, Diane. I can tell you this. I had a woman fly all the way from Italy to Fort Lauderdale just to listen to me
talk. Wow. Wow.
Like, wow is right. I had a woman tell me that she had given up on life and wanted to quit living. But when she saw and heard of my story, it allowed her to see the sea through my eyes, and she chose not to give up on life anymore. It's really, really cool. Sometimes it's a lot of responsibility on my shoulders now because my voice has grown and I have a voice, and I'm still like, pinch me when somebody calls and says, hey, will you make an appearance at this event? And I'm like, what? An appearance, you know? Or, hey, will you come and talk here? Or, you know, I'm still just like, oh my gosh. And it's so exciting and it's so awesome because the work that I'm putting in is paying off and I'm seeing a difference, but I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of responsibility sometimes a little bit. I'm like, whoo, wow. You know, but I'm seeing the change little by little, one crew member at a time. I get messages now every single day, and it's so cool. Somebody says, you know, you changed my life, or because of what you said on that one post, I decided to leave my really toxic boat and now I'm in a better position. Or because of what you said, you made me decide to keep pushing forward with chasing my dream. Or you gave me the courage to go speak to my captain when I was so afraid. And guess what? Now the situation is so much better. You know, I didn't think, I was so afraid and I was so worried. I never thought that it would have gone this way. And so many stories now of just crew saying, you know, that they spoke up and they saw a positive change. And I haven't heard of anyone say that they've spoke up and it went negatively, but I know that probably sometimes it does, but you know what? And I tell them this, if you speak up and you wind up canned for speaking up, find the silver lining in that. There's a blessing in disguise. And every single time it puts you on a better boat. It puts you on a better path. It puts you in a better position. And so it's just, it's really, really cool. And thanks for asking, because it is making a difference. And to show you just how much of a difference encouraging one person to speak up is this young woman that I'm talking about that said, I was afraid to go to my captain that did, and comes back and says, oh my God, the situation on the boat is so much better. We're all happy. You know, captain's happy, owner's happy. We're all happy. Then she said to me, she said, but because of you encouraging me to speak up, now I can encourage others to speak up. And I was like, oh my God, yes, that's the domino effect that I'm looking for, that I'm hoping for, that, you know, when we support each other and when we encourage each other, then you just see this, it trickles down, you know, and it's happening. So it's really cool. One crew member at a time. I mean, my gosh, the woman flying all the way from Italy to listen to me talk. I'm on cloud nine about that. But, you know, it just goes to show you the power of your voice. And the impact that you can make on someone else's life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It sure does. I'd be floored. You'd probably still have to scrape me off the floor if somebody flew all the way from Italy to listen to me. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I know. And she told me 5 minutes before I was supposed to go on stage. And I was like, you can't do this to me. Right. I'm going to go off the stage looking like a complete basket case. Right. You know? Right.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So let's switch gears for a moment and talk about some, well, we were just talking about some very positive things. So maybe it's not really switching gears. Let's talk more about some of the positive things that you've been shining a light on too. So tell us about the Captain's Classroom videos. I absolutely love these. I know I am not even your target audience, but I listen to them and watch them. And I always feel like, hey, that was really cool. I didn't know that.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. So listen, I double dipped for a while. So I was teaching and working on this boat for a while. It worked out when I first stepped on to that boat and I said, this is what I want to do. And that captain just, you know, swooped me up under his wing and took me on. It was the perfect storm, because I was still able to teach and still able to work on this boat. Eventually I had to pick one. I double dipped for the longest time, because when the boat was as busiest as when I was off as an instructor, you know, summer, I got 3 months off in the summer. I've essentially got, you know, all the time off around the holidays and stuff like that. So it worked out, really well. Where were we going, Diane?
The captain's classroom.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I taught and became a captain, you know, simultaneously for the longest time. And then finally, obviously had to pick one career. But I missed teaching. I really, really missed teaching. I love the young adult, which is the largest majority of yachting, is that young adult age group. My 20s were so hard for me. And I empathize with them. So I was missing teaching. And so as my social media started growing and I started realizing, okay, I need someone to help me grow this and to help me produce this content and that kind of thing. One of the videographers says, well, why don't you put the two together? Why don't you put yachting and teaching together? I don't know. Let's call it the Captain's Classroom. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. I was like, it puts both things together for me. Like, I can teach and I can do boats. I'm like, this is amazing. And so like, just like that, the Captain's Classroom was born and we started talking about, okay, what are we going to teach about? And then I drew on my knowledge as an instructor going, okay, now if you're going to do this, like, we're not just going to put willy-nilly content out there. We're really going to think about it. We're really going to have some strategy into it, because, okay, so who's my majority listener? You know, what's the age group? How do they learn? How do you get to them? And this age group right now, and I mean, look, all of us now, you know, resort to social media for so much, but I was like, that's where I'm going to get them. I'm going to get to them on social media. Their attention span is short. I need to be quick and to the point. And it worked. So I really put a lot of strategy into it and still do spend a lot of time planning out what's going to go into the captain's classroom, you know, what post is going to be made Monday through Friday. When am I posting? How am I posting? What am I talking about? So there's, thanks for asking, because there's a huge amount of work that goes into that. But it just literally, with one of my videographers, just poof, fell out of the air. Let's put yachting and teaching together. And here comes the captain's classroom.
It's great. I absolutely love it. Oh, Kelly, you are truly an inspiration, and it has been so great to have you on Mega Yacht News Radio today. We could talk about any one of these topics for hours, individual podcasts for sure on any one of these topics, but I am sure that the listeners have learned a lot in just this conversation. So thanks for so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the timer and I'm going, how have we been talking for 34 minutes already? Like, this is not possible. I'm like, I have so much more to share. We're just, Diane, we're going to have to do a part there two, maybe a part three.
Right. Sounds like a plan to me. I love it. Well, everyone, to learn more about Kelly, you can follow her on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn, since she is such an active person on social media, as well as other social media channels. And all of them are linked on her website, which is CaptainKellyJGordon.com. Until next time, I'm Diane Byrne.
That wraps up this episode of Mega Yacht News Radio. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, please share the word on social media and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. And, of course, to learn more about what's going on in the world of large yacht cruising, new construction, and design, check out our daily updated website, the award-winning MegaYachtNews.com.